Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Choir, I'm going to ask you actually to come out into the pews if you don't mind, because this is such an awesome opportunity to have a little bit of a dialogue sermon. So if you don't mind, that way I can see all of you and not worry about leaving Michael too if you want. You all hear plenty of me, so this is a great chance for me to hear a little bit from you about this. So come on out. You all can also appreciate your choir as they come. When we think about this gospel lesson this morning in the context of where it appears in Luke's gospel, it's amazing how much happens in just two chapters. We're just slightly through, halfway through the fourth chapter. At the very beginning of the second chapter of Luke's gospel, Mary is still pregnant and they're traveling to Bethlehem to be counted as part of the census. At the end of the second chapter, Jesus is 12 years old and has been lost for 3 days when they went down to Jerusalem during Passover time, and his family is looking for him. By the beginning of the third chapter, Jesus is 30, and John the Baptist is on the scene proclaiming that one greater than he is coming and will baptize us with the power of the Spirit and with fire. By the end of chapter 3, Jesus has been baptized and has spent some time in the wilderness being tempted, and is so full of the Spirit by the time we get to chapter 4, when he is already begun his earthly ministry of teaching and is in a very small window of time where everybody loves him. We won't go forward to what happens next week in the gospel lesson. We'll just stop and let Jesus enjoy this time where everybody loves him. Scholars have a lot of hand-wringing and wondering about why do we have these missing 30 years? You know, what happened that in 30 years there's two chapters in one gospel that barely even brushes on Jesus' life during that time? As I was reflecting on all of this, it sounds a little bit strange, but hang with me, I was reminded of in Hinduism, there is a very strong concept of the stages of life. In the first stage, the student phase, 0 to 25, we all are learning who we are as humans. We're trying to find what work we're going to do. We're perhaps meeting a mate, making a family, doing all of that early stuff of our lives. You know, in the Paul's letter to the Corinthians today, we're learning, are we apostles? Are we teachers? Are we healers? Who are we as God's children? That's that first phase in Hinduism. It's called the student phase. The second phase, they say, begins roughly around age 25 and is called the householder phase. That's pretty self-explanatory. It's during that time that you have found what your vocation is, what your career will be. If you have chosen to have a family, you have children, and you're raising them, and you're going through that householding phase of life. And in Hinduism, it's actually strongly encouraged that you acquire as much success and wealth as possible. There's an interesting reason for that. But wealth is not something that is considered bad in any way, but it's something to be encouraged.
That's good.
Because, yeah, that is good, right? Because the next phase, beginning, you know, in your 50s, is the retired phase. And during that time, when the children are out of the house, the career has been built, you've achieved some kind of earthly success, you begin the spiritual and physical material practice of letting go. You can't experience the blessings of learning to let go of your identity based on work, or your identity based as parent, or your identity based on money, if you haven't built it. And so that's a very interesting thing, that retirement phase, in Hinduism, sometimes couples will leave whatever their home community was, because they don't want to get sucked back into a second householder phase by taking care of grandchildren. They'll leave their community where they had had a professional identity because they don't want to still be seen as Dr. Hub. There's all sorts of different ways that in Hinduism, people in that retirement phase really consciously let go of all that they had built during the student and householder phases. And then the very last stage of development, life stages in Hinduism, is called the reclusive hermit stage. And during that phase, we see many people really turning inward, that their primary focus is on their spiritual development, on attaining nirvana, that sense of enlightenment. And, you know, interestingly enough, we see a lot of the elders in our community who end up finding themselves in that space, where so many of the things that had occupied them during their household or even retirement years no longer become important, and their life really can turn inward and sometimes come down to just a room that they live in, perhaps in their own home or in a retirement community. And for those of us who are in the householder phase, that can feel really constraining and limiting. But for some folks, that's just a natural phase of their development. In India, since it's a much warmer climate, you'll actually see some people, particularly men, in this reclusive hermit phase who leave everything and move out and live in the woods. Sometimes just live naked in the woods. They don't even want to be bothered with clothes or house or dishes and linens and all of that stuff. They want to simply be on their spiritual journey. So this is a very long preamble for me to ask you all. When we think about how we are called by God into our spiritual path, I think we can put a tremendous amount of pressure on ourselves in this contemporary time to do all of the stages at once, to be constantly seeking as a student would seek, constantly learning, constantly pushing for more, to be doing the householding stuff, having a career, having a family, building friendships, building, while also having plenty of time to pray and to take walks and to be centered in God and to, you know, have the time of the retirement phase so that you're nurturing your spiritual lives and capacity, and maybe even a little bit of the reclusive hermit, you know, when we hear spiritual teachers calling us to times of silence. Well, if you're in the householding phase, that's just ridiculous. And so I'm wondering what you all hear in this invitation to consider that perhaps we don't know anything about those 30 years of Jesus's life because he was in a householding phase of building his career as a stonemason, being involved with his family of, in various capacities, building friendships. And honestly, that's kind of a boring time, right? I mean, what are you going to say? Jesus got up and went to work every day? There's not a whole lot to write about until he hits that phase where he's actively teaching, more actively engaged in the spiritual things that he was sent to earth to do. How does that sound to you all? What do you hear in that invitation that perhaps we each are called to different things in our lives at different phases? What might that mean in the context of your life at this point? Yes?
Time to start letting go.
And that can mean all sorts of things. David.
At 61, I was just fired, so I can move into, I can open up to whatever phase I want to move into next.
So what a beautiful, you know, losing the employment that you'd had for a while during householder phase, you now are on a threshold and you can choose, do you want to stay in the householder or do you want to move into a different phase? That's beautiful. Leroy.
Saying thank yous to all those who help you reach that point.
Oh, saying thank yous. That's lovely. And acknowledging that in each phase, there are so many people that support us during that time. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Leroy has written an extensive memoir, you know, during this retirement phase of his life, reflecting back on all that he's experienced.
That's the longest chapter.
That's the thank yous. Patrick.
For 52 years, my mother, whom I spoke this morning, has repeated a mantra to me. Honey, you can do it all, just not all at once. And that's almost un-American in our contemporary culture. Maybe because to acknowledge the phases is implicitly to acknowledge our mortality. But it's powerful, this example that you bring up from Hindu approaches to life.
And that's a wonderful insight that perhaps, you know, death is so much more obvious in India. If you walk down the streets in any city or village in India, the chances of you seeing a deceased body of some kind, human or animal, is pretty high. We're very insulated from that in this culture. And so perhaps this readiness to embrace a sense of the phases of life is there's a deeper openness to it because there's a deeper acceptance of mortality. Thank you for that. Dorothy.
You know, I give speeches to a lot of women around the country who are absolutely torn by these expectations of needing to do all phases at the same time, and I shared that. And in a way, because I study some of these beliefs every summer, it's an incredible relief and release, and, you know, this idea that you don't have to be doing it all at the same time. And even in terms of the spiritual journey and the giving up, that can take place at a later time. For me, on a personal level, because I look ahead to that time, it makes this time, just like spending time with a loved one who's going to pass, it makes the rest of this time of the householding phase bittersweet, and it makes me value it. Because I know it will end before my life ends, and so that I will be giving up everything that I have now. And so I'm so much more grateful for it because of the chance that I get to experience it at this moment. Mm. So that's what the sort of two different things that it does for me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Henry, is that a...
Yes. The act of acknowledging the love that surrounds us no matter what phase.
Mm. Yes, people who love us at all the phases of our life as we're learning and developing and letting go. Thank you.
Libby?
Artie?
My mom always told me, don't worry about what you can't do, just do the things you can do.
Thank you. Don't worry about the things you can't do, just do the things you can do. Thank you. Dorothy?
It was nice this morning sitting and looking out the window at the birds and the trees and the creek across the street. And I said to my husband, Stanley, I said, it's peaceful. And last night we had our grandson over and there was some chaos, you know. But I said, we're enjoying peace. Even in the midst of chaos or challenges, and I'm finding it so important to continue the spiritual growth or the looking, not to fix me, there's nothing to be fixed anymore, but just to enjoy the growth and the benefits of it makes it so much easier to handle any challenges. And I'm really getting the fruits of that and the gratitude of taking care of my spiritual life first, for the first time.
Well, thank you. And that sense that this is exactly the right time for the first time to be taking care of your... And that it's not anything to beat ourselves up about, that earlier in our lives, we might not have had the space in any way to do that. And part of the challenge, I think, for our community, and I'll be, you know, talking with people and praying about this a lot, is what does that mean for how we live into our lives as a faith community here at St. Mary's? Now, how do we say to the young families, we totally understand that this is a really busy and hectic time of your lives. Church can support you in giving you a context of being with people with similar values so that this job of householding is perhaps eased in a little way? Or how can we say to people who are, you know, moving into that retirement phase, we totally understand that this letting go is really challenging. And in the context of this community, we'd like to grieve with you those things that you're letting go. Celebrate and give thanks for the things that you've achieved. And love you. Love you during this time. So I think this is an invitation personally for me to reflect on how I've tried to do all things at once. How to be more gracious and kind to myself in accepting, you know, what are the different phases and where is it okay to say, you know, it's all right to let that rest for a little bit. But then to really deeply reflect as a community, what does that mean? If we think, and I do think there's some resonance in these phases of life for our context, as, you know, Patrick was pointing out, slightly different, but there is a lot of resonance. And helping us all to reflect on what that might mean for creating a community where spiritual development is nurtured in a very honest and open and accepting way, that we're not all at that place that we might be, where we want to let go, where we want to have more time for spiritual growth. We might be householding, and there's a lot of joy to celebrate right there. So as you have more insights or any thoughts about this, I hope that you'll share them with each other, with me, with Michael, with anybody here in this community as we learn together what might these phases of life do to help us shift the way St. Mary's can support you in whatever phase you are in your life. And mostly to love you and to love each other, because that is, as Henry said, that's exactly what this is all about. Acknowledging each other's gifts, acknowledging where each other might be on their journey, and just loving them. Amen.